You're listening to Reading Writers, a podcast on the joy of reading widely.
Hey guys, this is Aaron and Dave here with a new episode of Reading Writers. Thanks for joining us today. We are here behind the stage at a conference on church planting.
Sure.
That we're both working at today, and but we're not going to talk about church planting.
No, we're not. We're pro church planting.
We are very pro church
again,
planting.
We're pro Bible and pro church planting.
Absolutely.
Just in case. But we're talking books.
That's right. And we are very pro books. So today, what we are talking about is how do you get your book recommendations? And so you're going to hear inevitably some background noise. You might even hear part of the session in the background too.
Mm-hmm.
So welcome. So enjoy the extra bonus content here as well. It's deep stuff. So, Dave, let's hit this real quick. How do we get our book recommendations?
Sure. Hey, real quick. So, years ago, when I got into book publishing, before digital had become what it was, there's one thing that has not changed from that time till now is people buy books or read books because they're recommended from someone they trust. It's a real simple thing. It has not gotten that much more complicated. There's just better tools now, other than just typically, hey, get together for coffee like you and I would and hang out and talk about books.
Yeah.
You know, it's someone you trust. It's someone you love being around. Someone who's got an expertise in something of, like, our Whit, who we work with. We love Whit. Whit is like the literary guy. Like, he knows, like, you know, everything. And I'll go to him and I say, Whit, tell me about which Cormac McCarthy book next, which Graham Greene book to read next.
Yeah.
And he'll tell me, and I trust him because, like, he knows good books.
Absolutely.
Like, really good books.
Absolutely.
So that's just, I love that. That has not changed, no matter what. They're just better. They're just great tools. If I'm not in person with someone, I've got a circle of friends I can go to, and who some love some genre or multiple genres, and say, man, what are you reading right now? What do you love? What do you recommend? So, what do you have your kids read right now? I'd love to know that too. That's a classic thing. So, there you go to start.
Totally, that's great. I mean, I'm very much the same way. Like, so, you know, I've asked you, hey, what are you reading right now? Or I'll see, hey, what's on your desk? And that's
true
fun too. You know, that's where Herding Tigers, which
that's
we'll
right.
get to sooner or later.
I still haven't read it yet. So
neither,
if you read it, all right.
No.
We'll read it. We'll do a book review.
That's
there
right.
You.
That's right. But that's where one reading idea came from.
So you wonder why I place books strategically in a place.
That's right.
See?
That's why.
It's my conversation starting.
That's
there
right.
you go.
There you go. There
I gave you a book, too. So
you did.
There you go.
It was, like,
I know. I didn't know who it was for, but I'm like, you came in like you needed it.
And
I love
do.
It.
And I really do. So that's one way that I get them. I mean, you know, our teammate, Whit, he is another valuable source of information for me. The internet's very helpful too. Let's just be honest, it's one of the only things that the internet is helpful for some days. But we have a there are good websites that are out there that depending on what you're looking for in terms of for reviews. So I mean, if you're looking for Christian perspectives on on books.
Mm-hmm.
Sites like the Gospel Coalition are really helpful. A coworker of ours, Trevin Wax, he is ridiculously smart and ridiculously smart. And usually, if he says something is a book worth reading, you can trust it. So that goes back to personal recommendations a little bit.
Yeah.
But I mean, he'll recommend stuff. He'll examine books on his blog occasionally too. Tim Challies can often be a very helpful source of information depending on the book.
Mm-hmm.
Like anyone, it's a lot of the time it's all opinion. But I mean, that's the thing with book reviews.
Yeah.
My site tends to be actually a source for other people as well, because I just read a ton.
Yeah.
And so I'm the de facto recommender for a lot of people. Goodreads is another helpful one. Amazon reviews can actually be helpful as well.
Definitely. Yeah.
So those are some of the places that I look at.
Yeah,
as well.
I do like in Goodreads, in a basic way, you're kind of looking at a book and you can scan through and you can see immediately what your friends are reading, which is helpful. I'm always curious, like, what they think about it first.
Yeah.
And then you go on to just your average person's reviews, which would be similar to Amazon, too.
Totally.
And they're all fun, just because even if you don't know those people, just saying, like, just kind of what's general opinion. And you know what? Yeah. It's not that much different than the way movies work, too. Like, like movies live or die based on within the first week or two, based on like what's that word of mouth doing?
Totally.
So,
totally.
Which is fun. So
yeah.
Books do have a longer lifespan, I'll say that,
thankfully,
than movies.
Well, yeah. And they can, and sometimes their lifespan starts later. Like they hit their prime.
Mm-hmm.
So, there are certain books that, you can look at them. And I'm going to be mixing metaphors like crazy here, but there are some books that it's like they are the one hit wonder kind of thing. They're hot for about 3 seconds, and then no one ever hears about them, that book or that author, ever again.
Yeah.
And then there are some where it's like they pick up steam a little bit, but they peak in high school, and then again they just kind of fall off the radar.
Sure.
And then there's some who it's like, they're kind of the awkward, they're the awkward guy in high school, in school, like throughout primary through high school, who suddenly comes into their own in their 30s and 40s.
I'm trying to think of an example. Like, you have to name something you got in mind. You know, when you first started going, like, something that was popular in, like, high school, and, like, I Kissed Dating Goodbye or something bad, like that.
Okay. No, that's too soon. There's a documentary
Sorry.
About that.
Okay, so. You know what I mean? I'm trying to think of what was popular, and then, like, people actually read that and took it straight to heart. But, oh, well.
Well, I mean.
Yeah.
Twilight.
So I look back at 2017 at all the books I read, got from the library or wherever, or purchased.
Yeah.
And I started thinking, like, okay, how did I hear about them? Mm-hmm. What made me want to get them? And it was, what do you think the place where that I got
the
my recommendations?
Number one.
From? Number one. Oh, it wasn't one particular place. It was just a medium of how it was shared. So
Twitter.
It could be Goodreads. Could be no.
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 Goodreads.
Podcasts. Because, and I'll tell you this, I did the same thing with authors of mine and say, hey, listen, I'm going to put you on this podcast.
Yeah.
And you're going to get 30 minutes, an hour to talk about your book.
Yeah.
Whereas if I booked you on a radio show, you're going to get like a minute or two.
Yeah.
And that's
true.
Assuming you're like pitching yourself, which is awkward. But like a podcast, you can have a great conversation.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can feel like, are you giving away the entire book by doing it?
Yeah.
But that's not at all. I've listened to our podcast from authors.
Yeah.
You hear their perspective. You hear their passion. You hear what they love. And suddenly you're like, okay, there you go. I want to read the whole thing. Yeah. So I bought a lot of books and bought and gave a lot of books based on that. So I don't know if that's just me.
No, that's
please,
good.
Please, everyone in your reviews and things like that, post like kind of where you're, I mean, I was curious.
Yeah.
Like, post where you're finding, about books too, because I think that's fun. Tag Aaron and I, man. We have fun. I mean, and honestly, there's not a day that goes by that someone's like, I heard about this book from so-and-so. Like, I didn't know about that podcast. I didn't know about that blog. I didn't know about that whatever it was.
Yeah.
And that's fun.
No,
so,
that's good. That's good, Dave.
It's a moving target.
That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah, I know for me, sometimes I just get curious, and so I won't even bother looking. Like, I'll just start browsing, and I do this particularly with my audiobooks for my commute.
Yeah.
And I will just start looking, and I'll see, okay, what seems intriguing, and this is why, like, I ended up listening to Ready Player One before it was...
Yes.
Before it was super cool, and a movie.
It's on my old list of the library, so I'm the bandwagon
it's
guy.
It's fine.
I don't want to be left out of the conversation.
Know, Jordan Peterson's book, 12 Rules for Life, is one that, I mean, I'd heard of him because, like, he had suddenly gotten some attention for, you know, saying things that, that are not popular to say. We don't need to get into the details of what exactly, but
totally.
But his book was very interesting as well, because he is the he is very much the secular C.S. Lewis, and his book is basically if there were a reflection of mere Christianity, this would be the closest thing to it.
Yeah.
So
very cool,
but he's a very interesting dude. Interesting dude. So
okay,
not a believer.
Yeah,
not a believer, but has a surprisingly high regard for the Bible, even though he interprets it very much like a theologically liberal.
Yeah.
Scholar would,
but you can totally read books like that
totally.
If you know the context of where they're coming from, and suddenly
absolutely.
It's like okay,
yeah,
you don't just accept it outright.
Oh, totally,
you just,
totally.
But well, you certainly pay attention.
Yeah,
so.
But it was just fascinating.
Yeah.
So,
cool.
Yeah, so that kind of got into that kind of segues naturally into what are we actually reading right now?
Yes.
So
before I go on to that.
Yeah.
I've learned a lesson too of being recommended books by a few people who I read the books, and I would not take their recommendation again based on the recommendation they give. So there's an ethos here that you need to maintain, folks. Is if you're gonna recommend a book to someone, know who they are, know like what they like and don't. Because I read this book and I ended up hating it. And I thought like I did finish it, but I just was.
I can believe it. So
shall not be named for protection.
That's,
you know, right?
That's very thoughtful of you, Dave.
Yeah, protecting friendship. I guess I should be honest, but also I didn't.
Yeah.
No, I was honest with the person. I said,
that's the thing. You can share that with that person.
Yes, exactly. I won't publicly shame them on a podcast.
No, you should do that later.
No,
you should privately shame them.
Privately shame them. Okay. All right.
You know, that's just what Jesus would want us to do, or something.
Yes. Yes.
Oh dear.
I know.
So Dave, let's just hard shift on that. What are you reading?
I am reading The Power and the Glory by Graham Greene, courtesy of the recommendation of Whit Stiles.
Yes, there you go.
So we talked. I don't know, like 6 months ago, I think we both had not read any Graham Greene. He's like, I knew he wouldn't wait and go straight into it.
Oh, totally.
And he's read like now five of his books, and here I am finally reading number one.
Mm.
We need to have Whit on just so he can school us on good literary, modern and old
Absolutely.
Books. But yeah, it's fantastic. I'm almost done with it. And
nice.
You know when you read a book and you're like, this is so beautiful, I'm not sure exactly why. And I'm not done with it yet, so I don't think I can give like a full full review, but I just think it's just beautiful writing and storytelling, and it felt very fresh. And for a book that was written 70 or 75, almost 80 years ago now, I just thought like, wow, this is as good now as it probably what felt to people then, and love it. So there you
awesome.
Go. How
awesome.
About you? What do you got?
I am currently going through Endurance by Scott Kelly.
Oh yeah,
that was
actually
one you recommended.
Yes. Oh,
and so
are you feeling the nerdiness too?
Oh yeah,
it's fun.
I'm only a couple chapters in.
Yeah.
So
okay.
But
physical book or audiobook?
I'm doing audiobook on that.
Okay.
One.
All right.
So,
yeah. So it's him reading it.
Yep.
And he's very monotone. He's very military.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Yeah.
So, but it's fascinating so far, because I mean, you know. Like just to get insight into what does it take to actually go to space at all, and then to be there for a year, and what will happen, and you know, just him talking about things like, he's like, yeah, I have an increased chance, a dramatically increased chance of getting like terminal cancer for the rest of my life. And that was after the first time he went to cancer to space.
You're right, because it was half a year at first,
Six months the first time, a year the second time. And just being honest and saying, he's like, I'm a human guinea pig.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing.
Because he has a twin.
Yeah.
Mark Kelly. Best also known by people, who is a husband of Gabby Giffords, who is House of Representatives, who was shot in Arizona, and a lot of people know, but he's a twin, which is really fascinating.
Yeah.
And so that was part of comparing his brother and he.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really interesting. Well, you'll get, I don't want to ruin more.
I may be ruining something, but I
think that's public. So.
Yeah, it is.
I think it's fine. Sorry.
No, it's fine.
Sorry.
Sorry. The other one I'm reading is, because I always have multiple books on the go, I have John G. Patton. Missionary to cannibals.
Wow.
Yeah.
Scrumptious.
It's
a scrumptious read.
It's delightful.
It's delicious.
No, it's fascinating. So the book is broken up into two parts. One is a short biographical sketch.
Okay.
And that's the first half of the book.
I thought you were going to say, and the first is you saute it. And then the second is you add seasoning.
Nope.
Sorry.
No, that's fine.
Biographical sketch, part one. Sorry.
Biographical sketch, part one. Part two is more practical takeaways from his ministry. So I'm about halfway through it now. And it's really, really interesting, because one of the things that he makes the point of is that ultimately... This was really his approach to life and ministry. At a certain point, was as long as the work that God has given me is incomplete, I cannot die.
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
That's bold.
Wow.
And not in a presumptuous kind of way.
Yeah.
It's just like he's like, if I'm not going to die till God's done with me is the point. And that's a really good takeaway for me. Especially with, as I think about, future kind of things, it's like, so I know God's done with me in a certain time in a situation when I'm done.
Yeah, sure.
So, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
And so that kind of gives some resolve there.
Yeah.
The other one that I'm also working on at the same time. Mm. Yeah, because there's multiple. Two or three right now. Okay, all right, keep going. This is the last
one. All right,
one.
I'm scared of this one.
Is talent is overrated. And
who's that?
I can't remember the author's name. Yeah. It's like Culvert or something like that.
Gotcha. Sounds like a John Maxwell book.
Sir, it is.
Talent is never enough. You know that, Aaron.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I do know that. I do know that, Dave. Thank you. No. I also know that there's like 27,000 immutable laws of leadership in various capacities. One of which may be throwing people under the bus.
Not recommended.
No.
Not recommended.
No. Unless it's in that book.
Yeah.
No, but Talent is Overrated is basically promoting the 10,000-hour rule.
Yeah.
It's very similar to what Malcolm Gladwell said, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So you can learn how to be...
Yeah.
You can learn how to be really good at anything. And
sure.
I don't know if that's actually true.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard that.
I mean,
debunked in some ways, but the principle of it is, working hard to really master
sure.
something. I think that's noble.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
I think that's a good message for our kids.
Yeah.
it's a good message for ourselves to remind as adults every day, too, to say, hey, man, you want to go after something, but you got to work for it.
That's true.
You got to spend a lot of time getting really good at it. It doesn't come so
that's
easy
true.
For everyone. So
no.
There you go.
All right. So, Dave, on that note, we are going to wrap this episode. Guys, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time. And, Dave, good dancing.
Oh, jeez.
Thanks for listening to Reading Writers, a podcast on the joy of reading widely. If you've enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving a rating and review on iTunes. Your feedback helps more people find the show. You can find me on Twitter at Aaron Strongarm. And for more content, including reading recommendations, please visit bloggingtheologically.com.